Let's continue our worship with a word of prayer. Father, these songs have really said it very well this morning. We are in love with you because you love us. And we really desire to even love you more. And Lord Jesus, we do cry out to you. There have been many days and many occasions when this song, this new song that we sang, has just said how we feel and what we're going through. And we have cried out to you, or we should at least. And I just thank you this morning, Heavenly Father, that not only are you the God of the universe, the God that created the galaxies as well as the atom and everything in between, the God with a spoken word created the sun, breathed into dust and created Adam, and yet you care about us enough to hear our prayers, hear our cries to you. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that when it seems like we're in the valley of the shadow of death or in the very pit of life, we can cry out to you and you hear us. We thank you for that. We thank you that you answer prayer. We thank you that you are answering. You have answered and you will. And so, Father, we are so thankful this morning for so many things. Thankful for a beautiful day. Thank you for all that could come. Thank you for churches that are gathering in this city and other cities and all over this nation. Thank you, Father, for people that won't go to church this morning. We pray for them. Some of them can't. They're in jail. They're in hospitals. They're in care centers. They're alone at home and just can't. And some don't want to. We pray for them this morning, Father. Speak to them right where they're at. Guide them to yourself. Help them to know you in a personal, powerful, transformational way. And as we continue our journey, our series in prayer, fathers, help us again, I pray, to be a praying people. Help us to know, as we have seen from the very first lesson 3 weeks ago, that you so desire that intimate conversation with us, as when Moses cried out to you on behalf of the people. Help us to just realize and see all over again that prayer really does change things. Prayer really does work. You really do hear us. You really do answer. Sometimes it's not in our time. Sometimes it's not the answer we want, but you answer. And we thank you, Father, that we can pray, Thy will be done in my life, in our lives, in our churches, in America. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that today. Thy will be done here. Thy will be done everywhere. And so thank you for everyone that has come. Speak to us by your Spirit, O God, by your word, as we continue our worship of you, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let me say first that those of you that were in the second service last week and heard me say that James writes to come to God in faith, not doubting, you heard me say you will find that in James chapter 6, verse 7. Now, some of you realize there is no James chapter 6. Some of you even reminded me there is no James chapter 6. My mistake there. Sometimes I get going and I get out of control. Sometimes I get printing and get out of control. You may have seen that in your bulletin already. If you looked at your bulletin already, you have looked at the scripture this morning coming from Luke 27. There is no Luke 27. And so, I have concluded that I should be turned out to pastor. We are going to look at Luke 6. You would think if it isn't 27, maybe it's 17 or even 7, but it's neither. It's Luke 6. And so if you have your Bibles, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 6. I told you last week, over the next 2 weeks, this one and next, we're going to be looking at two things, and I'm going to continue to look at prayer. Believe it or not, the Lord got me up at 10:30 the other night. Those of you that know me very well know that 10:30 is late for me. I should have been in bed for about 2 hours. The Lord got me up at 10:30 and He kept me up till 1:30, and I was writing the sermon for September 20th. He put a lot of things and a lot of people on my heart. But I told you last week, this week and next week is who do we pray for? And Jesus, high priestly, intercessory prayer. And so, because next week is communion, have a little less time. Today we're going to do who do I pray for? And then we're going to end up in James again, not chapter 6, but chapter 5. And we are going to see who do I pray for? We're going to sing that brand new song again, and we're going to take a time at the end for prayer. The last couple of weeks we had a new song. I love that song. Today we have a new song. I love the words in there too. I hope that they were meaningful to you too. We're going to sing it again. It's brand new to us. It's not a new song, but it's a brand new song for us. And I hope that you'll see the words, if nothing else. Because I bet when we look closely at those words, there is application for most of us. Richard and I were busy Friday doing two funerals. Two different burials, and squeeze in a wedding practice between them. The second funeral was for a 37-year-old man from our community. You probably saw it in the Staples paper or the funeral home web pages. And the first phrase of this song that we just sang about somebody leaving too soon, and you didn't get to say goodbye or whatever. Boy, oh boy, did that hit home. 37. I was with his mother a little bit at the funeral service, and his brothers and his sister. And so anyway, this is a brand new song, and I hope you're not put out or turned off by brand new songs. I happen to think this one has some powerful words. We're going to sing it again at the end. Luke 6. Beginning at verse 27, maybe that's where the 27 came from. Jesus said this. Remember now, the topic is, who do I pray for? Because I suspect we all find it natural and easy to pray for those whom we love. Can I get a witness? It's fairly easy, fairly natural, fairly common that we would pray for those whom we love. At least I think it is. It should be for us. Fairly common, fairly easy, and fairly natural. However, in Matthew and in Luke, Jesus says this, "But I say to you who hear..." Now remember, hear means application. It isn't just hearing, James says, but it is doing. And Jesus says the same thing. "But I say to you who hear..." He's talking about followers of Christ. We claim the name of Jesus. This is what our makeup should be. This should be our DNA. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless," that's a prayer, "bless those who curse you? And pray for those who spitefully use you. Some of your translations will say mistreat. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Then in verse 32, Jesus concludes this statement with this. If you love those who love you, what credit is that? In other words, he's saying, that's easy. Right? That love is reciprocal. To love somebody that already loves me, that's easy. But Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do the same. Did you realize, brothers and sisters, and I know that you did, but let me remind us again, did you realize that Jesus himself has instructed his followers to pray for people that we don't necessarily like? You know what I'm talking about? I've mentioned this for the last 3 weeks off and on. If you've been in our prayer series, sometimes I say, yeah, but, preacher, we're instructed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's true. But when you dig deep in here, you know there's people you don't even like. And Jesus is instructing people of God, followers of Jesus, he expects us to go a step further and pray for those who mistreat you, those that don't agree with you and me, those that spitefully use you. Anybody have this experience? Your kids are in school now or in the past. They're young. They're being picked on. They come home. Maybe it was on the bus. Maybe it was in school. And all of a sudden, your defenses are rising real fast. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to have a word with that preacher, and I'm going to have a word with that kid. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've been there too. How about a boss or a politician or a preacher or a family member that has mistreated you, has even spitefully used you bad? You know what I'm talking about? Jesus said to the Jesus follower, pray for them. Bless them that have just got done cursing you. One night, I got a late evening phone call, and Sherry was on my... This was before my ear was bad. So I was listening to the phone in this ear, and Sherry was over here in an easy chair, and I'm over here in another easy chair, and this person in the phone is cursing me bad. Oh yeah, I've been there. Cussing at me, getting after me. Sherry could hear it clear over here, and the phone was in my ear. And after he got done, I got up. Sherry said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go to my room and I'm going to pray for him, because that's what Jesus asked me to do. Is it easy? Not really. Yeah. Is it healing in here? Oh yeah. And so Jesus said to Christians, are we Christian in name? Are Christian in what we do? He says, pray for those people that are misusing you, mistreating you. The reason I've started with this scripture, I could just fill us with tons of scripture on who to pray for, but I wanted to start here because it may be the hardest group for us to pray for. It may be, and maybe it's easy for you. I hope that it is. I hope that you have a regular habit of praying for people that disagree with you, are mean to you, mad at you, mean at your kids, or whatever else. I hope you have a regular practice of praying for them. Good for you. You're ahead of me, I'll tell you that. But the reason I've started with this scripture is because it's not easy, and yet Jesus instructed us to do it anyway. People of God. I find individuals and groups hard to pray for. Maybe they're mocking Christianity. Maybe they're cursing God. Maybe they're running hither and yon all over this great nation telling you, get them crosses down. Get them Ten Commandments down. Get that "In God We Trust" out of there. I find it hard to pray for those groups. I heard it again just this last week, the same group right down here in Madison, Wisconsin, who's adamant about getting down anything public about Jesus, showed up in Missouri and said to the couple of sheriffs down there, get them words "In God We Trust" off your car. That can't be in America. I find it hard to pray. But I find it necessary to pray for that despitefully use me or you or Christianity. I find it necessary. As the people in the Middle East that are dying, I've told you about the books I've read, Killing Christians and Visions and Dreams. I've told you what Jesus is doing in the Middle East. Miracles. And these Christians are praying for their persecutors. Jesus instructed us to, and many of His people take this very literally. I'm going to do it. And I've started with this category because it's not easy. But that's what Jesus has instructed us to do. And He even took it a step further and said, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? For even the sinners do that. In other words, He's saying, go. We should pray for our friends. We should pray for our family. We should pray for people in the church. The Bible even instructs us in Ephesians 6:18 to pray for all the saints. We should do that. But Jesus said in this, if you do just that, what good is that? He challenges to do more. To pray more. Pray for those people we don't like. Pray for those people that have despitefully used us and misused and been mean to our kids. Pray for them too, He said. I'll give you just one example. I could give you many, but time is going. I'll give you just one example of somebody praying as he was being despitefully used. It comes from Acts 7, 59 and 60. It is Stephen. You know the story. Stephen has just got done preaching. He has just got done proclaiming the good news. And the Pharisees were so ticked at him, they're hanging on to their ears. They don't want to hear no more. And they pick up stones and they began to stone him to death. Here's what the Bible says. Acts 7:60. Stephen knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not lay this charge. Do not lay this charge, this sin, on them. In other words, forgive them for killing me, because they literally killed him. And when he had said this, the Bible says he fell asleep. He died. When I read that scripture, I wonder and I ask, Jim, when was the last time you prayed for somebody that physically hurt you? Or emotionally hurt you? Jim, and I ask us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, when was the last time that I asked God and you asked God to forgive somebody that hurt you? Because that's what Jesus instructed us to do. I had to think about that a little bit. Perhaps that's why I was up till 1:30 that morning. Had to get right with God in a couple categories of forgiving people that had hurt me, my family, the church, Christians. I had to get right with God and pray for them and ask Him to forgive them too. Because that's what the Word asks us to do. And so when it comes to this category of who do I pray for, we've been talking about how prayer changes things, and we've been talking about how do I pray, and we've been talking about the results from 2 Chronicles 7:14, when we pray, when we get serious about it, if people humble, God's people humble ourselves and pray. We've been talking about that, and now we're talking about who do I pray for. Perhaps the hardest group to pray for is people that don't agree with us, but we need to. We genuinely need to. And like I told you before, I'll tell you again, I'm not talking about praying a lightning bolt from heaven strikes them down either. I ain't talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about a genuine prayer that's earnest and pouring out to God on behalf of that person or those persons or that group that is killing Christians, that is mocking Christianity, that is hurting your children, blaspheming the name of God. That's who he said to pray for. As we pray for the saints, as we pray, Paul said, don't forget, I'm in my chains here. Don't forget me in chains. We should pray for people in prisons because of Christ and otherwise. We should pray for the sick. James says that. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But he also challenges us in the church to pray for those that we don't like. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? That didn't look very convincing. God has spoken to my heart about this. And I hope you're hearing from him and his word today. To pray for people that you don't like. He's challenged me on this, and I've been trying day and night, even when he wakes me up in the middle of the night, to pray for people that are flat out opposed to God, maybe even say there is no God. He's challenged me, pray for them too, Jim, and people of God. And so there's lots of scripture of who to pray for, including, I mentioned in Ephesians, for all saints, he mentions. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. He says, therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That kind of takes care of everybody, doesn't it? And then he says in verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority. I told you last week that just the week before, one lady left on the way out when I was speaking about this, and I said I would get to this authority thing in time. One lady asked me, "You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. You mean I got to pray for the President of the United States? I don't agree with him. Well, maybe I don't agree with everything he says or does either, but that don't mean I don't pray for him. The Bible instructs us to pray for those who are in authority. Anybody been stopped by a police lately? Oh yeah, you ain't going to raise your hand, are you? Pray for them in authority. That's what the Bible says. When was the last time you prayed for our police officers, men and women? They're in authority. Pastors and priests, that's fairly common to us. But how about the president? How about the governor? How about the mayor? How about the Supreme Court? Paul says, not only does he say, pray for them, he says, give thanks for them. And so, it challenges me, even in sometimes in disagreement with the authority. Because I know there ain't a person here that probably agrees with the police last time you got stopped. No way, I wasn't doing that. And sometimes we don't agree with the preacher or the president. But Paul says to pray for them anyway, Timothy, and Church of God. And so these are just some of the who's. Who do I pray for? And we can come up with excuses. No, Jim, I ain't going to do it. I don't agree with them. I ain't going to do it. We can do that. We can come up with excuses. Or we could listen to the Word of God. We could listen to the voice of God that comes from the Word of God. And we could pray for those in authority whether we agree with them on their decisions or not. We can still pray for them as a person. And maybe our prayer for them should be that they know Jesus. Maybe that's where we start. Now, lastly, last scripture comes from James chapter 5. James gives us several scenarios in which to pray. And once I have gone over this scripture, I'm going to invite the praise team up here again, and we are going to sing that song again, Cry Out to Jesus. Now, listen to the scripture and I'll tell you what we're going to do. James 5, verse 13 through 16 says this, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him or her pray." That's an invitation, friends. Suffering from anything, distrust, sin, anger, pain. Is any among you suffering? Bitterness? Maybe towards the president, maybe towards the pope, maybe towards the pastor. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. We're going to take an opportunity to do that. Is anyone cheerful? Let him or her sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And listen, friends, listen now. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if that sick person, he says, has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's reason enough to pray. And in 16, James writes, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another." And let me just say this about that. If you have a very close accountability, if you're a woman, it should be a woman. If you're a man, it should be a man. But if you have a very close friend or a very close accountability person, the Bible says we need to get pretty honest with them. Of course, God already knows our sin and what confessing needs to be done, and we need to confess to Him. That's who we should confess to. The Bible says if we confess to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We need to do that. But in this accountability measure, James says, confess your faults one to another. And so you should have a close accountability person. It could be the pastor, but it could be somebody just in your close circle that you should confess your sin to. Why? You say, "Jim, why in the world would I do that?" Why? Here's why. James says that you may be healed. That's reason enough, amen? That we may be healed from that stuff. And so, this morning, praise team, we're going to sing this song. While we're singing this song, I want to ask you, are you suffering today from anything? Then pray. Just like the song says, cry out to Jesus. Are you suffering from a lack of knowledge of who Jesus is? Then cry out to Him. He wants to hear from you. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to trust Him by faith. Are you suffering from anger, resentment, anything else? He says, James says, then pray. And if you want me or Marie or Richard or Pastor Les to pray for you, we'll be glad to. And so, are you suffering today from anything? Let them pray, James says. Are you sick today from anything? Then let the elders lay hands on and pray, the Bible says. I've got anointing oil. You want to be anointed? Then I will anoint some oil, put some oil on my hands and anoint you. You say, "Jim, I don't know nothing about that. That seems a little far-fetched for me." The Bible says, is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and raise them up. I say hallelujah. It's reason enough to pray and to anoint people. And so if you're suffering, if you're sick, and lastly, are there things that need to be confessed to God? Suffering, sick, or sin today, cry out to Jesus. You can come here. You can sit here in the front row and we'll anoint you if you want to. You can cry out to Him right where you're at. But as we sing this song, cry out to Him, friends. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, you say, "Jim, I know about God. I believe He exists. Matter of fact, I even believe some of that old book." But if you've never surrendered to Jesus the Christ as Lord for you, as Savior for you, then you need to do it, friends. That needs to be your first prayer. You've got to realize, I too, Lord, have been a sinner. and I need a Savior, and I know that Jesus died for me. I believe that. And I embrace that, and I receive Him as Lord. You got to do it, friends, to be born again. Maybe that's the first prayer. Maybe that's where you start. But you can cry out to Him, and He's going to hear. And so if you're here this morning and want to cry out to Him, suffering, sick, sin, cry out to Him. We'll pray with you if you want to. We'll pray for you.
Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here for the first time. We pray your blessings and peace upon them. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this grateful gift, this wonderful gift of prayer, that we can come before you anytime we need to, anytime we want to, and every time we should. Lord, help us to go forth praying, keeping you in the foremost of our mind, Lord. Those little three-second prayers are long, long prayers where we're crying out to you, Lord. Help us to remember daily to touch you and to touch the world with your Spirit through prayer. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.